Hello, friends. Denny Pruto here to talk to you a little bit about your need and my need for the message of grace. The Bible is predominantly about the grace of God in Jesus Christ. And if the Bible is truly a book about the grace of God in Jesus Christ, when we teach and preach and when we listen to the teaching and preaching of the church, that teaching and preaching ought to be predominantly about the grace of God in Christ. To show you this, I'm turning to John chapter 1 and verses 14 through 17. Listen to the text in the New American Standard Version. "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we saw His glory, glory as of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. John testified about Him and cried out, saying, This was He of whom I said, He who comes after me is higher rank than I, for He existed before me. For of His fullness we have all received, and grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses, grace and truth were realized through Jesus Christ." Now, I begin with verse 17. "For the law was given through Moses, grace and truth were realized," or came to be, "through Jesus Christ." The words grace and truth are a figure of speech called hendiadys. I've spoken about this in another lesson. The hendiadys is two words referring to one thing. And John is actually referring to one thing, not two different things here. He's referring to the true grace which came to be through Jesus Christ. Or we could put it this way, he's referring to that which was truly gracious coming to be through Jesus Christ. And John is contrasting the grace present in the Old Testament. He says, "For the law was given through Moses." Now, the law refers to the five books of Moses, to the first five books of the Old Testament. But now when you understand the Old Testament properly, you realize that the historical writings from Joshua through Esther are really an unfolding of the promises, the stipulations, the directives, the injunctions, the directions given by God through Moses. In other words, the historical writings unfold what Moses has to say. And then when you go to the prophets, you see that the prophets always refer back to Moses. The prophets look through the eyes of Moses and speak to the Old Testament people of God through the eyes of the Pentateuch, and the prophets apply to the Old Testament people of God what Moses has to say. And so there's a sense in which the whole Old Testament is an unfolding of Moses, and the Pentateuch, or the first five books of the Bible, commonly spoken of as Moses, foreshadows the rest of the Old Testament. And so when you look at John chapter 1, verse 17, there's really a comparison and a contrast being made between the Old Testament and the New Testament. Listen again. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth were realized through Jesus Christ. Or true grace came to be through Jesus Christ. Now, this does not mean that there was not grace in the Old Testament. Verse 16, for of his fullness, that is Jesus Christ, for of his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. That's what the New American Standard Version says. Or grace instead of grace. Now, what is John saying? John is saying that in the Old Testament, grace was present. In the Old Testament ceremonial laws set forth through Moses, grace was present. How so? The Old Testament people of God, looking at the ceremonies, would see Jesus Christ, the Savior who was to come. And when they sinned and realized their sin because they saw the animals being sacrificed on the altar in payment for their sins, when they realize the depth of their sin, they would repair to the temple and offer sacrifices, knowing that those sacrifices not only portrayed their sin, but also looked forward to the Savior who is to come, Jesus Christ. And so, through the ceremonies, they believed in the Savior who was to come. I've always said we should not impute our ignorance to the Old Testament saints. They understood much more than we give them credit for. And so John says in verse 16, for of his fullness we have all received, and grace instead of grace, or in the place of grace. Now let's go back to verse 14. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we saw his glory, glory as of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. You see, grace and truth came to be, as John says in verse 17, grace and truth came to be through Jesus Christ. And when the early disciples saw Jesus Christ in the flesh, they saw the fullness of true grace in him. Grace was manifested in him. And when you and I look at the Gospels particularly, even now, even today, we see true grace manifest, shown forth to us in the Gospels. But it's not just the Gospels that show forth this true grace. You see, what we're saying is that the whole Bible, Old Testament and New Testament, shows forth the grace of God. Adam and Eve in the garden, heard the voice of God speaking to the serpent. I will put enmity between her seed and your seed. He will bruise you on the head, and you will bruise him on the heel. This was a prophetic utterance with regard to the coming Savior, Jesus Christ. Adam and Eve heard the gospel, and they believed the gospel. They received grace. When God spoke to Noah and commanded Noah to build the ark, God said that he was going to destroy all flesh on the earth. And the Bible says that Noah found favor in the sight of God. Literally, what the text says is Noah found grace in the sight of God. Noah received grace. Abraham and Isaac and Jacob received grace. They heard the gracious covenant promises of God. And they believed the promises. God promised Abraham that his seed would be as numerous as the stars of the sky and as the sand of the sea. And Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him as righteousness. And Abraham is used as an example in the New Testament by Paul in Romans 4 as an example of justification by grace through faith. It was the same with Isaac and Jacob. They received grace from God. Moses received grace from God, and the people of his day received grace from God. On Mount Sinai, God said to Moses, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. God was very gracious to his people, and he redeemed them. And God commanded Moses to tell the people to take a lamb and slaughter the lamb and put the blood of the lamb over the doorposts of their houses and on the doorposts of their houses and on the lintel over the door. And when the death angel came through Egypt, the death angel would pass over their houses. And Paul says in the New Testament, Christ, our Passover, has been sacrificed for us. Moses and the people of God in his day received grace. And when David came on the scene, God promised David that his son would sit on his throne forever. And we learn in the New Testament that the greater son of Jesus Christ is, or the greater son of David is Jesus Christ, who sits presently on the throne of David in the heavenly places as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. David received grace. So it was with Solomon and the prophets and those who followed them. And when we come to the New Testament, we find all of the promises of the Old Testament fulfilled in Jesus Christ. Grace in the place of grace. grace coming to us, realized in Jesus Christ, as we have said. And so all of those who speak and are spoken about in the New Testament receive grace. And when you go to the very end of the Bible, to Revelation chapter 21 or 22 and verse 21, John says, "The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with all." He ends with the note of grace. The whole Bible is predominantly the message of the grace of God in Jesus Christ. I need that message. Don't you? Years ago, when I began my pastoral ministry in a little Orthodox Presbyterian church in northeast Oklahoma, the people in the congregation had put on the pulpit a little plaque. "Sir, we would see Jesus." I resented that plaque. Shamefully, I resented it. I thought to myself, these people are not going to tell me what to preach. I'll determine myself what I ought to preach. It was a sinful, self-centered attitude. And by the grace of God, I've repented of that. And as I look at the Bible now, and after several years of ministry, I realize that the predominant message of the Bible is the grace of God in Jesus Christ. And week by week, I need to hear the message of Jesus Christ. Week by week, because I know more and more my own sinfulness and my own disobedience to the Savior. I really need to hear the message of the grace of God in Jesus Christ. Whether it's from the Old Testament or from the New Testament. You see, part of our problem is our penchant to turn the message of the Old Testament particularly into a message of legalism. And to think to ourselves that somehow we must prove ourselves to God. And there are those today in Reformed circles who say of the Mosaic covenant, the Mosaic administration of the covenant of grace, that it's a new formulation of the old covenant of works. Not so. Not so. And it's easy to bring that idea into the New Testament. You and I need, dear friends, you and I need the message of grace. if it's true, as I've sought to indicate to you, that the message of the Bible, Old Testament and New Testament, is predominantly the message of grace, then when we come before the face of God week by week, we should have the anticipation of not only hearing the message of grace, but of being lavished with that same grace. I know I need to hear the message of grace in Jesus Christ week by week. Don't you? Thanks for listening.